What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 3 of the Jonah Saller podcast. I'm your host, Jonah Saller. I am an online entrepreneur, strength coach, as well as the owner of Frontline Strength. This podcast is dedicated to helping you become a stronger individual through mental, physical, and spiritual strength. So in today's episode, I want to talk about mental toughness. This is a big one, and this is something that a lot of people struggle with, and I struggled with for a long time, and so it's something that I dived very deeply into. I'm also a certified sports psychology coach, so I understand how the mind works pretty well, and I've spent a decent amount of time developing myself in this area, so I figured this would be a good episode to talk about. So I kind of want to talk about if it's a skill or if it's something you're born with and just the different factors that come along with developing mental toughness. The first place to start is defining it. So I went to Wikipedia, you know how reliable that is, and found the definition from three guys named Graham Jones, Sheldon Hanton, and Declan Connaughton of the United States. And they used personal construct psychology in interviews with elite athletes, as well as elite level coaches and sports psychologists, to arrive at this definition of mental toughness. They defined mental toughness as having the natural or developed psychological edge that enables you to generally cope better than your opponents with the many demands in competition, training, or lifestyle that sport places on a performer. Specifically, be more consistent and better than your opponents in remaining determined, focused, confident, and in control under pressure. So those three guys, basically, I think that last line sums it up. Is mental toughness is you're more consistent and better than the people around you in remaining determined, focused, confident, and in control under pressure. So to kind of bounce off of that and get into where I want to take this through my experiences and my knowledge, my argument is that everybody is born with the ability to be mentally tough. Everybody is. Everybody has the same potential. Everybody has the same level of mental toughness that they can achieve. And I think a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their minds around this because they think about, you know, maybe a really weak person that maybe got bullied and stuff in school and could never stand up for themselves. And then you think of somebody like, you know, I don't know, Stone Cold Steve Austin or something, who just seems like just... he's full of confidence and energy, and it's like, how can those two people have the same potential? And here's my argument. My argument is that based on a number of events and happenings, specifically at a younger age, it's going to influence your ability to be mentally tough. So while everybody has the same potential, not everybody is going to be mentally tough based on circumstances in their growing up days. Some people it's suppressed and stifled, and other people it's not, and it's encouraged, and that's why different people grow. So there's lots of different factors. I mean, I think for myself, you know, growing up, I wasn't a very mentally tough person. I think I mentioned in maybe the first episode of the podcast or something, but there was a time when I went to a new group with new people that I'd never met before, and I told my mom that I wouldn't even go into the room to meet these people because I was so terrified of having to talk to new people, and I like broke down and cried over it. You know, I was terrified of putting myself out there, of doing new things. And yet today, here I am, and I've been described by some of the people I know as one of the most confident people they know. So there's obviously a level at which I grew, but my past and my childhood and the different things and events that happened shaped my ability to have confidence. And, I think this is the biggest, you know, point for a lot of people is if it's something that's suppressed in you, it's going to be much harder to get out of that bad mindset and into a good one where you can actually grow. So I think about, you know, circumstances are everything. Circumstances involving mental toughness are absolutely everything. I think about a guy like Gary Vaynerchuk, who's a very successful businessman, extremely confident. You can tell this dude he knows who he is, and this guy does not care or give a rip what anybody else thinks of him. And he talks a lot about his childhood. And in his childhood, he talks about how his parents were super encouraging of him, how they always fed into his desire to succeed. They constantly built him up. And, you know, I got to tell you, it shows based on the position that he's in today. You know, it was molded in him from a young age that he could succeed and he could do whatever he put his mind to. And his parents forged a path for him to experience all these different things, which allowed him to get to the point that he is today. But, you know, you take another child maybe who feels worthless and grows up with abusive parents, maybe an alcoholic in the family, who's abused, who's told that they don't matter, who's told they'll never amount to anything, who's told you can't succeed, you're stupid, who gets bad grades in school and lets it affect them. This is somebody who the opposite effect's going to happen. They're going to grow up with a lot less confidence and much more sorrow, and everything is going to build up to make it much harder for this person to achieve mental toughness. So I think a good place to start, and this is kind of where I'm getting to more the crux of what I want to say, is we need to discuss how powerful words are. Words are incredibly powerful, and they can affect us on a very, very deep level. I was reading in the Bible in James chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. It says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed by mankind." But get this next part. It says, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." I think this is really interesting. That last little part there where it says it's a restless evil full of deadly poison. The tongue cannot be tamed. It literally says no human being can tame the tongue. It's full of deadly poison. And I think this is so true. We can so easily just verbally vomit on people however we're feeling in that moment, whether or not it's justified, whether or not it's right. Sometimes we just don't think about it and our mouths open and we say things too fast. And I even noticed just in my time, you know, podcasting and making videos and stuff, there are times where I stumble over my words or I jumble things, and it's because I'm speaking so fast. I'm just trying to get my thoughts out there and I'm not actually thinking a whole lot before I say things. I'm not pausing to try to articulate myself. I'm just spewing. And this can be really dangerous, because when we talk like that, things can come out that we're not wanting to, and some of those things can be very damaging and hurt somebody. So basically, we've established that the tongue is evil and full of deadly poison, and no human being can tame it. So if that's the case, and the tongue can't be tamed, and we're going to face people that say things to us that hurt, we need to figure out how to address that. Because if we can't tame the tongue, that means we can't stop the negative things that are going to come at us. We need to figure out how we can escape the feelings that come with hearing negative things. So this is where grounding comes in. And this is where your spiritual walk is very, very important. When you're grounded, specifically when you're grounded in Christ, because that's the angle I'm taking with this. Whether or not you agree, that's totally fine, but this is personally where I have found my rest, and I believe that everybody will find their rest in Christ. When you're grounded, you're going to be able to rewire your brain to understand the truth of who you are and be able to distinguish that from the lies that you may hear. So, for example, if you're a little kid and you're growing up and you're hearing from maybe your teachers, if you don't do so well in school, which was my case, you know, I never got the greatest grades in the world because I was just a terrible test taker. When you start not doing well in a subjective way to the people around you, and you're supposed to do well, sometimes you can take that, and instead of viewing it as just an outside opinion, you internalize it as truth. And pretty soon, the more of that you internalize, the more you're going to accept that as being true about you, regardless of whether or not it is. So for a lot of people, we don't even understand that we have the choice to discard things that come in. We think that everything that comes in, we just automatically internalize it. Oh, you're awesome at this. We internalize that. Oh, you suck at this. We internalize that. And pretty soon, all these jumbled things that we've heard from outside sources, meaning people, start rewiring who we think we are. And then we end up going around acting in this sense of who we are based on all the things we've heard over the years. Oh, Jonah, you're never going to be good at this. You should do this instead. Oh, bloop. Internalized, and now I think I'm terrible at this and I should be doing this instead. You see how dangerous this is? And I think most people aren't even aware that it happens. You know, I think we sometimes forget that we have that choice. We have the choice to listen to what people are saying or to discard what people are saying. And the only way that we can get to the point where we truly don't care about what other people think, which is so important, is by grounding ourselves. Because when you're grounded, you know who you are. And when you know who you are, the only things that you're going to let in are things that align with who you already know that you are. So I want to read a passage from Ephesians. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. And it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ." Think about that. What an incredible truth that is. He made us, even when we were dead, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we were saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places. I find that just so satisfying to think about. Think about that. We are seated with him in the heavenly places. That's your identity. That's the core of who you are. That is the gauge of what you let in and what you don't let in. And I think that this truth frees us so much from the words of others and allows us to not care what other people think of us, which allows us to use a filter and take the useful stuff and discard what is not useful. Now, in order to do this, the first thing that we have to do is we have to admit that there's probably some lies that have gotten in that we need to find. And what's hard about this is that a lot of these things that are lies, we have internalized so long ago that they've been ingrained in us for so long that they've become truth. And when something feels like truth, even when it's a lie, it's going to be hard to identify it. So this is why it's so important to focus on your grounding first, because when you know who you are in Christ and you see who you are and you realize that's unchanging, it's going to be so much easier then to identify what in you is a lie, right? Oh, I'm a filthy, horrible person. Well, are you though? We're now alive in Christ and raised up with him and seated in the heavenly places, so that doesn't align with that anymore. So now you know that that's a lie and you can get that out of there, you know? And I know that's kind of an extreme example, but it's so important to identify these lies and uproot them, because this is where you're going to find true freedom. And once you find that true freedom, when you walk around in life, you are literally untouchable. And this is the crux of mental toughness. This is how you can be mentally tough in everything that you do, because regardless of what people say, you know who you are. And when you know who you are, even if fiery arrows, even if stinging words come shooting at you and hit you, you can just bloop, 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 read it and go, is this useful for me or is it not? And if it's not, you just spit it out and you keep moving on, and you don't have to be affected by it. But so many people don't have the mental toughness because they internalize the words that they hear around them, and that comes from a lack of grounding. What we internalize becomes us. So make sure you internalize the good stuff and disregard the rest. You have a choice. You need to realize you have a choice. The words of others only carry the meaning that you allow it to. So that's the podcast. Mental toughness is both a skill and something you're born with. When you're born, you have the ability to be as mentally tough as the most mentally tough person that you see. But based on how you were brought up, based on your circumstances, that's going to affect your ability to get there. So the sooner you realize that you have a choice to internalize things, the sooner you're going to find freedom and be able to live completely and utterly dependent on your grounding, which is going to free you from the words of others and allow you to be successful in everything that you do. Thanks for listening. This has been fun, and I look forward to talking to y'all next week. Keep getting stronger.